Appreciate so much you being able to be out this morning. We are missing a few of our own. I'm just thinking of how good it is that we're able to have Grace with us. She's gone through a lot since I've known her, and I've only known her for a short time. So I'm grateful for the fact that she's able to be out with us and sitting in the back, and for all that Pam helps her with and others. We are grateful for that. We certainly want to remember those that aren't able to be with us. You know, Christianity is the only religion that believes that if we go through things in life and even to our death, that we should do that and never deny our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All other religions allow for denial at some point if it gets bad enough that you don't have to. And I know you're surprised by that, but even the Muslim religion does the same thing. They all allow for an out. But we believe that according to God's Word, we don't have an out. That if we deny Him, He'll deny us, as He has said, before His Father in heaven, regardless of what the circumstances might be. When we think about being persecuted, sometimes we, I think in terms of, and we look at the Bible or we look at things and we pick the worst and we think that's persecution, but that's not what God says is persecution. There's a lot to persecution. And I just titled this, Persecution, Be Prepared. We need to be prepared all the time for this because it is so easy for us to lose our faith. It may be on a temporary level, but sometimes we let things come into our lives and it is so easy for us to no longer want to follow God because it would be much easier if we didn't do that. We'll be talking about some passages. I'm not going to use this whole passage right now, but 1 Peter 3:13 through 18, in the middle of this, he said, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. And that's a mouthful. It's not just suffering because you chose to do a certain thing. I've had people say, well, you know, I've had to go through a lot of things. And I thought, well, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's because of righteousness' sake. But it could very well be. We don't always know. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But Jesus had warned His disciples. And He told them that persecution would come in their lives. And a lot of people that are Christians really don't want to hear this. We've lived in a country where it's minimal, I would say. Even to this point it is. But it can certainly get a lot worse in a hurry. But all generations of people who had followed God, at some point or another, several of them suffered some persecution. And some of it even to their death, as we'll learn. Now, we're living in a time when I think it'd be good for us to prepare. People want to hide their heads in the sand. They think that if I just ignore this, it'll go away. They're not looking at all the things that are happening throughout the world. And if we're not prepared for this, we may not be prepared to stand. I would hope that all of us would understand what this is about and how Satan has never gone away. He's still there. He's still powerful. And so we need to prepare our children in this country, because this is where we live, for some more severe types of persecution. And I will tell you this, and it can be attested to by some that have been in other countries, it is easy to know, if you live in those countries, that it's, excuse my terminology, it's alive and well, that indeed persecution is out there, and it will continue to be out there, and Satan would love it to be to death for everyone who wants to deny, or that he would want to deny God. It's easy to see how most of the world views Christianity. And I'm using it in the broader sense where people do claim that they in some way, form, or fashion believe in Jesus Christ and do some things to prove that faith. So I'm using it in a broad sense right now. So many have been jailed and killed in our time. This is not something we can read in God's Word. This is something we can know. Even in this country, it's evident to me that many in leadership positions are now opposed, judges, representatives, leaders of states, leaders of the country. They don't agree to the moral standard we agree to. They're very opposed to that moral standard, and they vocalize this all the time. All you have to do is listen to what they have to say. And what they're trying to say is, I don't agree with you. And in fact, you'll find that many of them will agree with other types of religion over this. And why would they do that? I mean, I don't know Christians, true Christians, that want to go out and kill anyone for what they're opposed to. And when we look at this and we think about it, Satan has prepared this world for such views. How did he do that? I will argue that so much of this started in recent times because of the subject of evolution. When you have a belief that there is no God, that there is no one who is in control, pretty soon you do what you want to do, and each one can do everything they want to do, just like they did in Noah's time when they chose to satisfy themselves with every thought and imagination they had. And that's why these immoral practices are prevalent today. I've said before, all you have to do is look at the progression. From the time I came into this world to today, immorality has just blossomed. It is amazing to me how open and approved of so many things in God's Word, and even by some who claim to be Christians. And that's scary. That's really scary. We need to be prepared to stand. And I'm going to give you a few things about this today. Now, Huffington Post is not one of the, I would consider, conservative newspapers. I would even say that most of the people who write for them would be very opposed to some of the things that I believe. And why do I believe this? Because I read some of the things that are written by many who write for the Huffington Post. Open Doors is a group that goes out and looks at what's happening as far as, now I'm using the term Christians, as any who profess. In 2013, Christians killed for their faith doubled. Now, when I say documented, this is a group that just won't count anyone. In other words, just because a Christian died somewhere as a result of something massive, they don't count that. This was because of their stand for what they believed in. However you view that, that's how many died. There was 1,213 in Syria alone. When you think of Syria and our support of any side of that, and you think in terms of Christianity, it's not favorable to people. As a matter of fact, when we'll go through this, now some have estimated as many as 8,000 were killed for their faith, up to that number. Don't know. Nigeria, I'm going to document this, they go and look at why they're killed, 612. Pakistan, 88. Now, you can read the papers and you can see people. You can see this all the time, can't you? That people are jailed and then they die and they're beheaded. And people don't care in these countries. They'll kill them. Egypt, 83, and this was during the uprising, and many, many more were killed that claimed to be Christians there. Okay, but I'm just talking about for that actual fact that they reviewed. Take North Korea alone. There's 50 to 70,000 that are still in political prison camps because they want to follow Christ. And if you don't think that's true, just recently someone went over there with their Bible and they're now in jail, a U.S. citizen. These are not countries that love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are 111 countries that oppose or harass Christianity. This is a known fact. You do not go into certain countries. I'm going to give you one. Saudi Arabia is 100% Islamic. You will never be a citizen of that country unless you profess that religion. There are countries where you will not go into. Even to the point that some of our leaders have stood against some of this and have said, we don't want to have anything to do with these countries anymore, and others we just don't care about. 9 of the 10 worst are Islamic nations. Don't ever start thinking that Islam as a whole will accept Christianity. It is not allowed in the Quran. And whether they will do it or not, or claim to do it or not, that's a different thing. I'm not saying that everyone that's Muslim wants to kill everyone else. I'm just saying that this is a known fact. This does not include places where people have been imprisoned for what they believe, that they will spend a lifetime in jail and or eventually die for their beliefs. All of us know of places that every once in a while the news media will give us that one person, but they don't give us all of those people that are suffering this in many countries because all of them aren't U.S. citizens. Some have been mutilated for their beliefs. They've had their eyes put out. They've had certain parts of their bodies cut off because of their beliefs in Jesus Christ. They've had their property destroyed. Some have had their own houses burned while being in some type of an assembly where they were trying at their level to worship God. they have had their properties destroyed and had to run for their lives to keep from being killed. So this has all been documented. If you don't believe any of this, you can look it up, and then you can look it up. You know, there's places you can look to see if it's really factual or not. And there are people out there who really look at this. I want to say this. Just ask anyone if you know of someone that's a Christian in some of these countries. Ask someone that's in India. Is everything fine there? Do you ever get persecuted? Oh, they're going to say absolutely not. Things are just so smooth here. You never have to concern yourself. And that's not true. There are so many countries out there where people have gone over to teach the gospel. People have become Christians. And as a result of that, been harassed for the rest of their lives. If they got to live the rest of their life, you know, and die a natural death. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, Middle East, China. I have met Christians from China. And just ask them, is it an easy thing there? Do you just walk into the assembly and you know what they say? Absolutely not. You plan these on not letting too many people know. And you're careful about who you let know. And then you meet somewhere and you don't sing real loud like Glennon was wanting to open the windows here, you know, where everyone could hear our singing. And now, would Glennon still do that if we were living in certain places? I think probably Glennon would say, let's open them up. But it's not for show, you see. We're not doing this for show. And a lot of these places, I appreciate what they're doing and trying to do so that they can bring others to Christ. Believe this or not, David Cameron said, he's Prime Minister of Britain, just recently in a speech, this year I think, it is the case that Christians are now the most persecuted religion around the world. We should stand up against persecution of Christians and other faith groups wherever and whenever we can. And I appreciate any leader making that statement. Any leader saying, this has got to stop. So let's look at the United States. Are things changing? Governor Chris Christie just signed into law. It's illegal for licensed therapists, regardless of where they have a faith, regardless of where it is faith-based, their therapy, to use gay conversion therapy for minors. That is, you cannot, if a minor comes in, teach them that what they're wanting to get into is wrong. You cannot say that God said that is wrong and try to convince them to change. You cannot use anything to try to get them to change from the path they have chosen. California already has this law. The only two states right now. I will guarantee you, after looking at all the things about all these laws and all these judges that are changing the way our country is, that it won't be long. That'll be in most states. Or, if it will not be passed, some federal judge will say, that's a constitutional right of some sort. And we will be in jeopardy if we say and try to teach someone that the path they're going is sinful. A recent Army briefing listed evangelical Christianity and Catholicism as examples of religious extremism. You can look this up. It's documented. Now, a lot of this has been brought out in the public, and some of this has been, how am I going to say this, brought back, rescinded to some degree. I will tell you that. But it just shows you that I'm showing you a path. In 2009, a Department of Homeland Security memorandum identified future threats to national security coming from evangelicals and pro-life groups. That's our threat to this country. The U.S. Department of Justice just recently argued before the Supreme Court that the federal government can tell churches and synagogues which pastors and rabbis it can hire and fire. They believe that they have a right as the Department of Justice. Now, they didn't win that yet. A federal judge recently, and I know you saw this one on the news, threatened to put a young girl in jail, valedictorian, unless she removed references of Jesus from her speech. Said it was no place to say that at a school. And in most schools, creation cannot be introduced or discussed as an option. Can't be. will not be allowed. I could go on with this. You can find it over and over again what's happening in this country. The Canadian, I have friends who are Christians in Canada, the Canadian Supreme Court recently upheld a law that all who would oppose homosexual practices, saying it is the same as if you're physically attacking that person and encouraging others to physically attack them, and thus that is hate speech. And this was a law that had been passed, and their Supreme Court upheld it. And you're thinking, wow, that would never happen here. Actually, it's been proposed here. It's been proposed in this country that if Abe Martin preaches against homosexuality, that it can be considered hate speech. Pretty soon it'll be, if I teach against those that use drugs, it'll be hate speech. If I use any kind of language at all against any immoral action, it'll be hate speech. If I tell someone they shouldn't be living in sin in any type of fornication, it will be hate speech. If this continues, I hope to God it does not, and I pray to God it does not. But how long will it be before it's not in the United States? And if you don't believe this is true, about it trying to be passed here, look up the bills that they have tried to pass. This is one of them they have tried to pass. When you teach against things immoral, it becomes hate speech. So we need to be prepared. What happens if this happens here? Can you imagine living in the time of Christ? Can you imagine that Jesus is teaching them a message of love and He's saying to them, I want you to go out and teach people how to be saved? Can you imagine them sitting there thinking, as they're sitting in His feet, well, this is wonderful. This won't create any problem in my life. He's just teaching me that all you have to do is accept the Word of God and be obedient to it, and you're just showing the love of God. What possible? Who could oppose that? Can you imagine? And just about every government on the face of the earth, including the Jewish government, was opposed to it and tried to put a stop to it. A message of love. And so when Peter would finally write his first letter, he said in 4:12 through 19, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Well, Abe, that'll never happen in the U.S. I hope and pray it never does. I continue to pray that every day for my children and my grandchildren. I do. I hope it never does, but be prepared. "As though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." You remember what Cody said? That's what it's about. It's a partaking of what He went through, the song that we sang. "That when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you," or blessed are you. "For the Spirit of God and of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed. But on your part, He is glorified." You want to lift up God in your life? He said, if it comes to that, that's what you do. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer." Those things that somehow were put on the Homeland Security list for being dangerous to the government. Well, He said, don't be a murderer. I'm not. A thief? No. Evildoer? Busybody in others' affairs? No. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be of those who do not obey the gospel of Christ?" The sad part of this is, it is, as he's trying to point out, well worth having to suffer some for Christ. Because the end result is, He's going to judge us on that basis as well. How well did we do? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodliness sinner appear? You see, it doesn't really matter what might happen to us on earth, does it? Because God will take care of it in the end. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as a faithful Creator." So if I'm going to be prepared, if I really want to be prepared for this and I really think about it, what are some things that we could get from this verse? What would He be telling us? Same thing He told them. Expect it. Don't think that it's not going to happen in your life. Don't sit there and think that you're going to go through a whole life and nothing's ever going to be done to you because of your faith. In 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus might possibly suffer some persecution. That's not what he says. And someone said this to me many, many years ago. Abe, if you never, ever go through any persecution, you might want to look at your life. Are you really living it godly in Christ Jesus? Or are you hiding it so that they don't know? You heard the story about the young man that went off to college, and they said, well, how did they react to you knowing you're a Christian? He said, I don't know, I didn't tell them. One of the reasons is because we don't live our lives in such a way that it brings anything. And I'm not saying go out there in front of everybody and say, please shoot me because I'm a Christian. I'm not talking about that at all. John 15:20, what did Christ say? Well, he said, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. And that's the good side of this. You see, it's two-sided. If we keep his word, we're going to be persecuted. We won't be persecuted if we don't keep his word. Not for that, at least. We might for other things. And be informed. I have so many people tell to me, I don't care. I don't want to know what's going on. It just bothers me. Well, it bothers me too. But it bothers me a lot more not knowing. And then I'll be caught up and I'll be going, are you kidding me? They just passed that? I don't know what to pray to God for, which we're going to talk about in a minute. If I'm not informed, I need to be informed. You think Jeremiah, God just left him in the dark about what was about to happen, about persecution? No, Jeremiah said, he told him, he said, if you run with a footman, you're saying there, you don't even know what you're going to do. You're saying, this is too hard on me. You're saying, I can't stand this because people are making fun of me and ridiculing me every day. He said, if you run with a horseman, they have wearied you. Then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. I want to tell you something. I know what they're doing. You know what they're doing, Jeremiah? Yes, they have called a multitude after you. They've turned your back on you. Do you believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you? You see, persecution, sometimes. Just be informed. Understand where it's coming from. And as Cody's already said, submit to God. Whatever He says to do, do it. It is for your good, always. Deuteronomy 37 says, also He'll take care of all this, you see. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. How long was it after? And I'm going to talk about this a little bit in the second lesson, just bring it brief. How long was it after we find out about the Jews persecuting that God took care of it? How long after did He take care of the Romans? How long after has He taken care of it since then? There's been, those aren't the only persecutors that's ever been around. It's happened throughout time. Look at just recent history and how He's taken down persecutors. God will still do it. He does what's best. Psalm 119:86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. See, just give it to Him. Just give it to Him when it happens. And then rejoice in it. Well, that's not easy to say, is it? I mean, how could anyone rejoice in some of the persecutions that went on in the first century and have gone on since then? You see, just because we haven't been persecuted yet doesn't mean that might not happen. In Acts 5:41, after they'd been beaten, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. How shameful to walk out of there with blood going down your back, beaten. How shameful would it be? Not compared to shame of standing before God and saying, well, you know, you understand, God, I had to deny you before them. They're going to take a whip to me. Prayer. I'll use this, don't I, all the time? I mean, I'll use this often. It probably... just prayer. It's just so powerful. Psalm 7, 1 and 2. O Lord my God, in You I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me. This is David. And deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. You ever thought about David's life? All the persecutions he went through? All the things he had to suffer because of his life for God? In 2 Timothy 4:18, and Paul said this, he's toward the end of his life. He knows he's going to die, and he knows it will not be a good death. But he says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." I can do it. I'll make it through it. I want to be out of this life and into that life. But warning, we need to warn people. We need to let them know. We need to warn on both sides. Warn the people who are wrong. Continue to warn them even if they're beating us. It's just like Paul did when he told them, you know what? You're wrong in doing this. You need to obey God. But then he also warned people that they were going to go through these things. Look what Stephen had to say. He's teaching this lesson. He said, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." We need to let people know. We need to let our young people know that if it gets bad, you have to stand. And last but not least, of all the things I need to be doing is examining my life all the time. Am I living it in such a way that if something did happen, would I still stand for God? Am I examining it in such a way that I say, I am going to maintain my faith? That is my desire to do right to the end. 1 Peter 3:14, back to that, what we started out with. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." He said, "Abe, when it comes time, if you have to go through things like that, it's minimal. It's only going to last for a little time, and then you can have a life eternal with me." So, we need to expect it. We need to be informed. We need to submit to God. These are just my thoughts. Rejoice, pray, warn, and especially examine our own lives. We need to examine our own lives because Paul clearly lets us know that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. When we think about this, we may not be suffering much at this point in our view, and that could be because maybe we're not standing the way we should, or it could be because we are and God has chosen to protect us at this point. But there have been, and there will continue to be, Christians throughout this world that will be. And we need to pray for them. I know that for a time there, we were praying in our prayers continually for people everywhere. We need to pray for these Christians. There's a lot of people in a lot of difficult places that every day could lose their life as a result of their belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. So we've got to continually examine our faith. Is our faith strong enough? Our lives? Are we ready? If persecution comes, are we ready? Well, the Bible says be ready. But we need to also be ready for eternity. Eternity's coming. And we may put it aside. We may think in our minds, there's no God. I don't worry about this kind of thing. I'm not going to do anything. But I said it last week, and I'll say it one more time. I'd much rather live my life believing in God. And at the end of it, there not be anything. Which, by the way, I don't believe that. I have that hope. Than I would to live it believing there is no God, and at the end of it, there is something. This is a real God. This is a God who will do exactly what He said. He will punish eternally for those that have not obeyed. If you have any needs and you've never been obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, never been baptized in the mission of your sins, or as a Christian, if you're not living as you should, we would encourage you today, change your life, make it right with God. Would you please stand?